南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。Hello friends, how are you? I hope you're well and you're safe, secure. Thank you for your support, for being here. It's nice to see you. Chapter 21, The Transcendent Power of the Tathagata. What do you think that is? Think that's a magic spell? Woo, hot coffee. As I've discussed before, the Tathagata is the fundamental nature of all phenomena, the entire cosmos, of which you and I are a part, yeah? And the fundamental nature is a creative one. Right? From potential to the realm of form is a great push to be. That is the foundational energy, projection, momentum, kinetics of the realm of forms. To be, to experience being. That's the fundamental formation action. Right? What is formation? It's actions. Actions coming together, compounding upon other actions to create momentum. That's what everything is. That's what you are. That's what I am. Now we have actions upon actions upon actions upon, shall I use the Buddhist metaphors? Kodas of Nayutas of Asamkaya Kalpas of actions? Unfathomable, uncountable, innumerable actions, all amalgamated into formations. Formations like the five aggregates, amalgams, aggregates, skandhas, consciousnesses. They are emergent properties of amalgams of innumerable actions acting together and upon one another, each with their own tendencies and conditions to manifest in innumerable ways. That is what I call or refer to always as the freight train of karma. Your freight train, my freight train, the freight trains of karma that are expressing into the realm of form, which is constantly changing because it's constantly influenced. Moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment, 3,000 realms in a single thought, moment to moment to moment of life. The cosmos is life. So, from a very fundamental to the most gargantuan, that is our purpose. Our only purpose, to witness being. This is Tathagata. And when it's captured in a sentient mind in the Saha world of this material expressing moment to moment to moment to moment, we have this potential to experience that process, the engine of life. When you can do it, and when you can maintain it, we call that Buddha. When you can maintain it enough to let it filter your life experience, your Saha world experience, while living, you're a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva walking the Buddha way, instructing with your Buddha mind others to do the same. In a nutshell, that's Buddhism. So what is the transcendent power of the Tathagata? And I put it to you, the transcendence is the basic fundamental nature, the a priori nature of the cosmos, taking form as a sentient mind to perceive it. Buddha. Tathagata becomes Buddha, instantiated Buddha. Buddha mind, Buddha experience, Buddha knowing, knowledge, wisdom. Words fail. Perspective. At that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, equal to the atoms of a great thousandfold world who had sprung up from the earth, or beneath the earth, all before the Buddha with one mind, folded their hands, looked up into his noble countenance, and spoke to the Buddha, saying, this is the portend of you and I, yes? World-honored one, after the extinction of the Buddha in whatever lands, the transformed body of the world-honored one exists. Wherever he is extinct, we will widely teach this sutra. So there's that duality, Tathagata-ness, Buddha-ness. We take that on. And so I have a note here, the transformed body. This translation would suggest more evidence for the teaching indicating a transform from bodily human communicator to an essential and component presence in the engine of life. A presence universally extant and continuous, providing an indelible influence on all phenomena. The oft-mentioned Tathagata suchness. In human form, this suchness takes the form or mechanism of the ninth consciousness of the sentient mind, Buddha. All right. For what reason? Because we also ourselves wish to obtain this truly pure, great law in order to receive and keep, read and recite, explain, copy, and make offerings to it, it being the ninth consciousness, see Buddhism reference. Thereupon the world-honored one, before Manjushri and the other countless hundred thousand myriad kotas of bodhisattva mahasattvas, as well as bhikshus, bhikshunis, upasakas, and upasikas, universal realms of influence, dragons, yakshas, gandharvas, every aspect of expression of potential in the cosmos. Before all these creatures, these manifestations, revealed his great transcendent power, putting forth his broad and far-stretched tongue till it reached upward to the Brahma world, every pore radiating the light of infinite numberless colors, all shining everywhere throughout all directions of the universe. A truly bright, enlightened moment. Annotation. As previously mentioned, this metaphor of the tongue is the indication of the influence of the teaching, and the Tathagata suchness thoroughly penetrating every location in the cosmos. Continuing, under all the jewel trees, the Buddhas, each seated on a lion throne, also in like manner, put forth their broad and far-stretched tongues, radiating infinite light. So this is a picture of the cosmos enlightened. Yet another annotation. When will I shut up? I don't know. Let's see what I said. In this commonly used trope of the long broad tongue, it is useful to understand this as a parable of teaching via the mouth, voice, and yes, the tongue. The gist is that the powers of the one who teaches is so penetrating and widely knowledgeable that can reach all minds and capacities throughout the world and cosmos. So this relates to something you hear me say all the time. When you endeavor to awaken your enlightened mind, your ninth consciousness, Buddha, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, you radiate that life condition into your environment. Your environment is modified. It may take a while for you to notice it, or you may notice it that day. But it is changing. You are changing, therefore, the cosmos is affected. While Shakyamuni Buddha and all the other Buddhas under jeweled trees were revealing their transcendent powers, hundreds of thousands of years had fully passed. After that, they drew back their tongues, coughed simultaneously, and snapped their fingers. I can't do that anymore. Too much rheumatism. In unison, these two sounds reached through every direction of Buddha worlds, all their lands being shaken in six ways. In the midst of these worlds, all living beings, universal realms of influence, dragons, yakshas, yandaras, asuras, garudas, kimnaras, mahoragas, you know the retinue. By reason of the transcendent power of the Buddha, all saw in this Saha world the infinite, boundless, hundreds, thousands, myriad kodas of Buddhas seated on the lion thrones under all the jewel trees, and saw Shakyamuni Buddha together with Tathagata abundant treasures seated on lion thrones in the midst of the stupa. And also saw the infinite, boundless, hundred, thousand, myriad kodas of Bodhisattva, Mahasattvas, and the four groups who reverently surround Shakyamuni Buddha. Right? This is the ceremony in the air again that we all experience when we sit ourselves in a respectful, dignified posture and apply ourselves to awaken Buddha with the use of our Nichiren mandala, not Frank's mandala, not Pratyanaga Buddha, or Amida, or any other, Nichiren's mandala, of the very picture we are revisiting, of a cosmos enlightened. That moment-to-moment experience of Tathagata-ness and Buddha-ness, that's the transcendence. That this is a basis for all the realms of form that are the cosmos, while at the same time envisioning all the Buddhas are you and I and her and them and those, some enlightened, some ignorant, some in the process of, right? Everyone, as I've said before, the modern Sangha is the population of sentient minds in the Saha world. Many, many, many don't know it. Many are swept away by religious fodder and foolishness, politics, propaganda, war. They are relegating themselves to the lower worlds, hell, hunger, animality, anger. To them, peace, when we say peace in the world, is really the world of nin, humanity. There's no progress in that. That's why war keeps returning. No, you have to reach in and help people to change their minds, evolve their minds to the ninth consciousness. Without that, there is no real peace. There's just a stasis, which is an illusion. We know this as Buddhists. Stasis is an illusion. There is no such thing as stasis. There is only flux, constant change, momentum, inertia. If you're not in that state of mind, then you're missing it. You're devolving. You're actively retrogressing because the universe and everything in it is moving. There's nothing static in the universe. After beholding this Tathagata suchness, they were all greatly delighted and awestruck, I imagine, obtaining that which they had never experienced before. Mm. At that time, all the universal realms of influence in the sky sang with exalted voices, chanted. Beyond these infinite, boundless hundreds of thousands of myriads of codas of Asamkaya worlds, there is a realm named Saha. In the midst is a Buddha, whose name is Shakyamuni. Our teacher. Via Nichiren, of course. But this is Shakyamuni's, make no mistake. This is Shakyamuni's Lotus Sutra teaching, Dharma, Buddhism. Nichiren is our modern scholar, mentor, exemplar. He's provided us tools that make sure that we can't miss with all of the distractions constantly barraging us. He knew we needed this mandala, this form of practice. Incredibly straightforward and simple. Not that Shakyamuni didn't. I mean, we're reading it right now. This is it. Nichiren said, yeah, this is Myoho Renge Kyo. So that's it. I mean, it couldn't be simpler. And it has to be, because it takes a fraction of a second for squirrel. We lose our focus so quickly. We needed Daimoku Mandala form to turn into practice, to understand the engine of life. Lest we spend years and years of our lives trying to figure it out, right? And maybe figure it out. No, this is immediate. Now, for the sake of all Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, he teaches the great vehicle sutra called the Lotus Dharma Sutra of the Wonderful Law, Myoho Renge Kyo. The law by which bodhisattvas are instructed and which the Buddhas watch over and keep in mind, the law of the Tathagata suchness. You should with all your utmost heart joyfully follow it and should pay homage and make offerings to Shakyamuni Buddha. All those living beings, after hearing the voice in the sky, folded their hands toward the Saha world and thus exclaimed, Nama Shakyamuni, Buddha, Nama Shakyamuni, Buddha. Then, with various flowers, incense, and garlands, canapes, and personal ornaments, gems, and wonderful things, they all from afar strewed the Saha world. The things so strewn from every quarter were like gathering clouds, transforming into a jeweled canopy, covering all the places above the Buddhas, all minds, all sentient minds. Thereupon the world of the entire universe, all of the worlds, were united as one Buddha land, Tathagata. This is immense. This ninth consciousness, this Buddha-ness, is the unique momentum potential witnessed throughout the cosmos. Not just your house, your neighborhood, your city, your state, province, country, continent. Throughout the universe. Of which, of course, your house, town, state, country, continent exists. Everything in unison, moment to moment. The grandeur of that. Thereupon, the worlds of the entire universe were united as one Buddha land. One moment to moment experience. At that time, the Buddha addressed Eminent Conduct and the host of other bodhisattvas. Quote, the transcendent powers of Buddhas are so infinite and boundless that they are beyond thought and expression. Even if I, by these transcendent powers, through infinite, boundless, hundreds, thousands, myriads, kodas of asamkaya kalpas, for the sake of entailing it. Were to declare the merits of this sutra, I should still be unable to reach the end of those merits. You simply need to experience it for yourself. It's inexplicable. It's that immense. You simply have to get on board. As I say all the time, just do it. Yeah? Essentially speaking, all the laws belonging to the Tathagata, all the sovereign transcendent powers of the Tathagata, all the mysterious essential treasures of the Tathagata, and the very profound conditions of the Tathagata, all are proclaimed, displayed, revealed, and expounded in this sutra of the Lotus Dharma, in Myoho Renge Kyo. This is the Renge. This is what Nichiren expresses as the Daimoku, right? Because the Daimoku is our attentive dedication to instantiating this teaching, the Lotus Dharma Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo. This is the entire cosmos in a breath with the ninth consciousness, with the perception, the witnessing, the observation of, the experience of the Dharma. Therefore, you should, after the extinction of the Tathagata, wholeheartedly receive and keep and recite, explain and copy, cultivate and practice it as the teaching. Note, which is an expedient device for influencing human samsaric tendencies, as we know now that the Tathagata suchness is a constant function of energy informations begetting all realms of form, see Engine of Life in Buddhism Reference. Get yourself a copy of Buddhism Reference. It will help you understand the flow of all this teaching. It will lock your mind into understanding the point, the rhetoric toward the point, the actuality of the experience. It's probably, outside of this effort that I'm making, probably the two most important things that I've put together in book form is this analysis of the Lotus Sutra and Buddhism Reference. And I say that with total humility. I know it's not perfect. I'm just saying it's my best effort. Whatever land, wherever it be received and kept, read and recited, explained and copied, cultivated and practiced as the teaching, whether in a place where a volume of the sutra is kept, or in a temple, or in a grove, or under a tree, or in a monastery, or in a lay devotee's house. Your butsudan, your mandala, your altar, your copy of the sutra, Gangyo. In a place, in a palace or a mountain, in a valley or in a wilderness, in all these places you must erect a kaitya and make offerings. Right? Your altar, your stupa, butsudan. The instruction for Nichiren doctrine and Lotus Sutra Buddhist practice, this is the manual. For what reason? Why would you do this? You should know that all these spots are the thrones of enlightenment. On these spots, the Buddhas attain perfect enlightenment. On these spots, the Buddhas roll the wheel of the law. On these spots, the Buddha enter parinirvana. At that time, the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. Now, I want to add one little dimension to this. And Nichiren really flushes this out even further. And he explains, Nitrin does, that this place in a mountain or a grove, in a valley or the wilderness, all these places you must erect. Well, our human body, and this is where our Saha world interacts and provides the opportunity for us to experience this enlightenment. Our bodies, our very selves, is the kaitya. Because when you chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, you are the treasure tower. You are the stupa, the teaching, the expression, the reciting, the publishing, the expounding, right? You are all of those things. Nitrin makes sure that we know of this. This is why he locates the Gohonzon in the mind. The Gohonzon is the ninth consciousness. It's the eyelid of the Buddha eye. So the Buddha speaks. All the Buddhas, emancipators of the world, dwelling in mighty transcendent penetration, in order to gladden all creatures, reveal their infinite powers transcendent. Their tongues extend to the Brahma heavens, their bodies emit countless rays of light. For those who seek the way of Buddha, they show this rare phenomenon. The sound when the Buddha coughs, Buddha's cough, and that of the snap of the fingers are heard throughout the world, the whole universe, and the earth in six ways shakes. Because after the Buddha's extinction, it is possible to possess this sutra, the Buddhas all rejoice and show infinite powers transcendent. Now that this sutra is entailed, to him who keeps it, let praise throughout kalpas infinite be inexhaustible. The merits of this man shall be boundless and without end, as space in every direction which cannot find a limit. The person who can keep this sutra is one who has already beholds the Tathagata suchness, and also the Buddha abundant treasures and all the Buddhas emanated from my Tathagata mind, and sees besides the Bodhisattvas whom I have instructed until now. The person who can keep this sutra will cause me and the Buddhas emanated from me, which is everyone, sons and daughters, yeah? And the Buddha abundant treasures in Nirvana, all of us entirely to rejoice. We'll be joined as one, many in body, one in mind, Itai Doshin. Yeah? Nichiren explains this too, yes? And the Buddhas now in the universe, and those of the past and the future, he shall also see and serve and cause to rejoice, because time becomes irrelevant to this experience. It's constant. The mysterious laws that have been attained by the Buddhas, each on his wisdom throne, the person who can keep this sutra must surely gain merits and clarity before long. The person who can keep this sutra shall accept and understand the meaning of the laws, with their terms and expressions, delightly expound without end, like the wind in the sky, which never has impediment. After the Tathagata is extinct, such a one, knowing this sutra that the Buddha has taught, together with its reasoning and process, shall expound it according to its true meaning. You will be an expression of, as well as a facilitator of, the experience of the engine of life. It'll be what you are. Just as the light of the sun and moon can dispel the darkness, so this person working in the world can disperse the gloom of the living and cause numberless bodhisattvas finally to abide in the one vehicle. Therefore, the person who has wisdom, hearing the benefits of this merit, after I am extinct, should receive and keep this sutra. This person shall in the way of the Buddha be fixed and have no doubts. Not fixed as in repaired, but fixed as in single-minded focus. And so I have a note here. So here is our direct promise of reward for our resolve in practice to receive the transmigratory penetrations of the Buddha, the universal Tathagata suchness, the awakening of our ninth consciousness. The entire purpose of this chapter is to ensure our commitment to propagate, take confidence in, read, recite, copy, cause others to do so, and to manifest our innate Buddha experience by doing so long after his extinction, which it isn't, right? His being Shakyamuni's extinction, but Tathagata, constant, ongoing, moment to moment. Shakyamuni as a human dies, but the Buddha, the universal Tathagata nature, abides in timelessness, as does all the cosmos. That's chapter 21, my friends. Again, is it not obvious that the Lotus Sutra is a manual for how to attain enlightenment, how to practice the Bodhisattva way, how to experience the totality of the cosmos moment to moment to moment? With all of that, how can you spend any time attached, anchored to possessions and the past and, right? Samsara disappears as you focus more and more on this. Is this not the ultimate teaching? Of course it is. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your practice. It's easy to talk about it, not as easy to accomplish, to experience. It takes fortitude. It takes commitment. It takes confidence. So that's why we're here. That's why I implore you to support, as you all do, wonderful bodhisattvas that you are, liking, subscribing to patrons, buying the books, mandalas, using the free podcasts, all the free information to help you study and to help you teach on threefoldlotus.com. Namo myoho renge kyo. So grateful for your effort. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Take care of your health. Keep your practice strong. And I'll see you in the next chapter. Was it 22? Yeah. We're moving now. Thank you. Take care. Bye for now.